Good afternoon. I'm Kate Manahan, and thank you for joining me for the 157th edition of New Mainers Speak. This is a weekly half-hour program where you can hear firsthand about the lives of some of Maine's immigrants. During this show, we visit with individuals regarding their life stories and enduring hopes as New Mainers. I'm delighted to have Orson Horkler in the studio with me today. He's also the artist known as Pigeon, and he was on show number 80 2 years ago talking about his Mainers public art project. You may have seen it around town. It consists of giant black and white posters with people from all over, sketched and hung together with the word Mainer written right under the image. His philosophy is, if you live, work, and love here, then this is your home. Now, 2 years later, still working as a carpenter, Orson has developed a way to blend his fine woodworking craftsmanship and his social justice heart, and has created Bondeco, a program which teaches the trades to some of our newest Mainers. And so he's here to tell us all about that today. Welcome back to New Mainers Speak, Pigeon.
Hi, Kate. Thanks.
Yeah. So fun to have you back.
Yeah, it's nice to be back. It was 2 years ago. Yeah. I can't believe it.
I know. It was, I think, the 8th of November, so really close to two full years. So you are a Finnish carpenter and have some mad skill, and you have a business card called Blue Jay Carpentry, a whole business, actually, not just the card, and you started this program called Bondeco. Tell us from the start, what's Bondeco mean, and what are you doing?
So Bondeco is a word in Lingala. So Lingala is, I think, one of the, I like to think of it as one of the lingua francas of Portland. It's a language you hear a lot, because Congolese speak it for the most part. And so I wanted to, ever since I've been hearing Lingala and also like learning little bits here and there, I wanted to rename the business as I was feeling the business was becoming more of a social enterprise. And I was thinking of a word in Lingala because they have great, they're just good sounding words. Bondeco I liked in particular because it's one of these, you know, they have a word for it. Like there's a word in a language that doesn't translate very well to other languages. So it's the feeling of being family with people who aren't necessarily your family.
Nice.
And it's also, but it doesn't apply to any kind of relationship. So it's not, let's say, a mother and son relationship. We're not really Bondeco. It's more with equals. So it's like brothers as well as friends and cousins. And I feel with our business, it really exemplifies how we are as a community working together, and also the way that we deal with clients. We work in people's homes, which is something that we take very seriously. When we are doing a lot of work in somebody's intimate space, and so, if we're going to be doing the work we do, we are going to more or less become part of the person's family
Yes.
in some way. And we have a lot of our clients in the last 2 years have become our friends and part of our community. So,
boy, I'd really appreciate that. You know, the mindfulness just that you're in someone else's personal space is really big.
Yeah. Yes. And I think it's something that's really... We work, so in construction, we do construction, especially in a rural state like Maine, it's a big industry. It's a big industry. And yet, it's a very unprofessional industry, right? Like real estate agents, you can 2 weeks, you can get your license and you can start working. You know, it's like, but they're very professional. They have a way of going about things. They have a way of, they're professional with their clients. And so I feel like that's the thing that's really missing in construction and that we really focus on is just trying to realize what we're doing, realize that there's a lot of money involved. Even a small project, I come to your house and we're replacing closets, tearing down a wall, it's a couple thousand dollars or more. So it's even a small project. There's a lot of money for people, and we're inside somebody's space. So
you're bringing respect. It's a really cool angle. great selling point. I'm sure that alone would make people interested in your business. So the trades offer some excellent options for work for immigrants when they're looking for a way to start supporting themselves and their families. Why is this kind of thing not happening more often? Are there specific cultural barriers, or why aren't immigrants finding their way into the trades more often?
Okay, so there's cultural barriers on both ends, sort of. So on the construction end, I've worked on many job sites where I was the outsider, and I'm white, straight, able, but people had sometimes a really hard time with me being on the workplace. And I've had people, there was even a case of an assault where somebody assaulted me on a job site after 9/11. So,
were they afraid you were a terrorist?
Yeah, that's what they call me. Yeah,
a French terrorist?
I think they told me to go back to Afghanistan. Huh. So but they knew I was, so it was just really prejudicial thing. And then a lot of microaggressions or things that me having I started pretty early on. I've been doing carpentry for 14 years, and pretty early on I started working on my own out of the back of my Oldsmobile Cutlass with a ladder. I think it was a 20-foot ladder hooked onto my sports rack because it was, I had the person who trained me was very, very giving and really respectful. But when I would try to go outside of that and go work on other job sites, it was pretty hard, and people didn't really want me there. And it's something, I discuss a lot with the Maynard Project. I probably, if I was from Massachusetts, I'd probably get the same reception, So I love Maine accents, okay? So in Portland, the only place that I hear Maine accents are when I step onto a job site. So there's a very limited idea of what a construction worker is in terms of their gender and sexual orientation and origin. It's a closed circle where people, have been doing this for generations. So on the American side, they have a hard time with having anybody different on the job. That's something that I love. Like, I love going on a job site where, let's say, last year I was bringing somebody who was female, black, from Africa, could barely speak English. And I say, okay, can you go finish flooring that room? And she's putting down hardwood flooring better than all the other guys hanging around who have 20 years of experience. Like, I love that. And if they feel uncomfortable, that's usually when I play the radio and I blast like Middle Eastern music, and then they're really uncomfortable. So that's like one thing that I've really wanted to do from the get-go, was sort of fight back against the intolerance and racism in the construction world. Now, on the other end, there are also cultural barriers for immigrants. I grew up in France, and I know that there's a lot of prejudice against the trades in France. So when we were in school, they'd say, hey, if you don't do your homework, you're going to have to go and we're going to send you to the, car mechanic section. It was like the punishment.
Kind of is here, too.
Really? Okay.
I think so. There are kids who are really interested in taking some classes at the Votek High School, but the stigma that goes with it, they just say, nah, I'll just take
really?
An elective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so I'm pretty aware that a lot of the things too that I'm thinking about and that I talk about are things that apply to Americans too. It's something I encounter more with the Francophone immigrants because I think they've sort of inherited during colonialism this kind of prejudice. So when I'm working with some countries, I feel like the person would rather work at the CVS maybe because they wear a shirt with a white collar behind the counter and get paid a pretty low wage than get paid better and come work and get your hands dirty.
Mm-hmm.
And yet the two jobs, or one job is a job where you're inside a big multinational corporation where you're never going to really grow. Maybe you'll get to be a manager at some point. Whereas with me, like what I love about the trades is that, first of all, it's knowledge you can't take away. Like every day I learn a job and I learn from a mistake or from doing something. Every day that's knowledge you just can't take away. I worked for Pine Tree Legal Assistance for a couple of years. It was a great job, and I was just really got to do work that I was, you know, social justice work that I was passionate about. But after a year, they changed my computer program, and half my work I had to relearn my work. And I would say that the program for trees was written before humans were around. Like nobody's going to take away the way what you learn about the materials we work with. So that's something that I want people to value. And then also, especially in Maine, like I started my own company 2.5 years after I started training in carpentry. So pretty early on is something that where you can be independent and you can have your own business, and the sky's the limit. So,
yeah. A couple years ago in that interview, you talked about how though you were American born, you only lived here 3 years, then you moved to France for growing up. And so when you came back, you really feel more like an immigrant than a Native American. I'm curious about, and I know you hang out with a lot of immigrants as friends and in your social circles. So what are some of the reasons you feel immigrants fit so well into the trades in Maine? Why are you working toward that?
So it goes right back to what I was talking about, professionalism. Mm-hmm. We're in an industry where I can be working on a house and do a renovation for you. I can add like 4 rooms to your house. But when we talk, I can be swearing. Like that's just, okay, he's a construction worker. That's just the way he is. And that's cool. I love that freedom of like telling any kind of joke I want on the job. And but it's also a huge area where we can improve in construction. So one thing I love when working with, and most of my experience so far has been working with Central Africans, Congolese, Angola, is that they come from very polite cultures. They come from cultures where there's a lot of respect for people who are older than you, even if it's 5 years older. and so that's the first thing that right from the get-go. So I met a lot of immigrants when I first came to Portland because I'm Francophone. So and I just walking down the street, and it was especially Congolese. It could be the fruit and vegetable aisle in Hannaford. And so when I started, my business was expanding and I was hiring some of the people I knew. I realized that right away, that it was something where they would be much more professional on the job, you know. And that's something that's important for me.
I certainly recognize a theme in the interviews I've done with immigrants around gratitude as well. It's so refreshing. You know, I think we've kind of lost that in this culture, a real gratitude that you carry with you and appreciating this opportunity to do this job, to work here in this spot, to have this opportunity to learn. That's refreshing to be around people who are grateful.
Yeah, it is. It is. And so the reason too why the name of this social enterprise is Bondeco, and it's a word that's way beyond like talking about objects made in wood, let's say, is because it's so much more. I think there are a few people like you and other people I know in the community who are Americans who have connections with immigrants, but it's really hard. I don't go around saying you guys are, you know, rejecting these people, and that include because it's a lot of it's a lot of work, and it's difficult to be in a position where you're constantly in culture shock. So with my workers, it's a lot more than just we're at work and I'm teaching you a trade, which is for me is already a huge thing. And I'm so grateful
that's a big job
to the person who taught me my trade. Like, he gave me so much. And as a working class person, I'm really proud of that. But it's so important for immigrants to have even like one person, one American, who sort of teaches them the in ways into this culture. Otherwise, there are misconceptions that will go on forever.
I'm working on a series of friendships for upcoming shows where you come in with your American friend and the foreign-born friend, and they talk about what they've gotten from each other.
Yeah, we definitely have a couple of suggestions, because I know people who are just very excellent job and very touching relationships.
But that's what
it entails, not just the work.
If you're just joining this conversation, welcome. You're listening to New Mainers Speak. I'm Kate Manahan, and my guest today is Orson Horkler, otherwise known as Pigeon. He's a global citizen raised in Paris, France, and is now a carpenter, father, musician, artist, and citizen of Maine. So there are a lot of good reasons to hire immigrants, which you've highlighted for us. What are some of the challenges of working in a multicultural workspace?
So you have to know how to navigate culture shock, right? And I'm sure you know all about it. But most people in Maine are not used to that. They often can't even deal with the culture shock of being talking with somebody from New York City, for example. So, and you have to realize that the first thing you encounter, which is maybe somebody saluting you in a different way, somebody wearing different clothes, is just the tip of the iceberg. And the thing is that one of the first things that happens when you encounter somebody is one of the most cultural things, which is how you show respect to somebody you don't know. And that's one of the most culturally diverse expressions of being a human there is.
And hard to change, hardwired in there.
Yes, yeah, because you are taught that, and the way I teach my son, for example, look somebody in the eye when you say hi. You haven't seen somebody in a little while, ask them how they're doing. These are all things you're taught and that you believe are, that's respect. That's a good way of behaving. So a couple years ago, I was at a meeting in the city. I think it was after the incidents in Ferguson, and people were talking about racial justice. And at some point, there was a lot of people there. And at some point, this woman just got up and she said, "You guys are talking about all this, like, all this complicated stuff. And I just want to say, you know, you see somebody in the street, you don't know them, just smile at them and say hi." And so in my head, I was thinking, that's great. Like, you be you. You go, girl. You know, that's awesome. But you have to know that I can list you at least three cultures, including the culture I grew up in the suburbs of Paris, where looking somebody in the eye is disrespectful. And it can depend on gender. It can depend on age and all these things. So then I am in culture shock at work, which I love because I spent so much of my time in the U.S. being the only one in culture shock and people being culture shock.
Now you're
with
bringing
me.
People into so it now, with you.
Right. So being in that space is great for me. I've learned that it's sort of a safe space, so to speak, and so it's worked out that I keep hiring immigrants, and because it feels really good for me and for others to be in this space where we all understand being lost in another culture, right? So it's really important, and so there are. But then I'm in a position where I'm also managing people who come from very different cultures. Could be Virgin Islands, Albania, Congo, and somebody from Angola working all together. And they have very different styles of dealing with each other and showing respect. So it's a constant work mediating and myself, you know, being a contractor is a job that can be very stressful. So it's a job where myself, I have to always stay cool and.
You could have called your business Melting Pot.
Yeah. The whole melting thing with the house. I thought, no.
What kinds of support has Bundeko received, and what does your organization still need in order to come of age as a social enterprise?
So we've received support with from CEI. Coastal Enterprises, and so they've helped the business while we were training somebody.
And they're a federally funded program that's housed here in Portland.
Yes. That, they do lots of, I don't even know all the amazing stuff they do, but they do lots of amazing stuff here in the state. And by the way, the person they helped us, I had somebody I really wanted to work with her, and I knew that it was going to take a the beginning I thought would take a lot of work to train her. And so we did. And so I'm very proud of her, because I'm pretty sure, and people can show me evidence of the contrary, but I'm pretty sure we've trained the first female, black female immigrant woman carpenter in Maine. So,
and is she still practicing elsewhere as a carpenter?
Yes.
That's brilliant.
And she still is part-time with us. So
that is definitely a way you can support your family. Better than a CVS teller.
Yeah. Checker. Yeah. And that's a huge thing for us right now, too, is that by 2019, I really want the business to be 50% women. So, we're talking about these immigrant issues, and also something where I'm looking for ideas as how to do that. I'm talking with Maine Access Immigrant Network on trying to organize some carpentry workshops specifically for women.
So people can give it a try, see if that might be something to pursue. That's brilliant.
Yeah. I'm sure we'll find talent there if we do that. So
if people are listening to this broadcast and they're thinking to themselves, this sounds like a good fit for my business, but I don't know how to start, how would they find you? How would they get ideas about how they could have immigrants work in their business if that's appealing?
So it's turned, because of the work I've been doing, it's turned out that a lot of people have come to me already to try to ask me for advice. I talk to Goodwill frequently as they try to steer immigrants towards positions in businesses. They encounter a lot of businesses who really want to hire immigrants, especially right now in this political climate, but who run into a lot of these issues we talked about, like cultural issues and all that. So I talk to them and they relay the information. I've also had several small construction businesses ask me for advice. So all this, I decided that there was a real need for this right now. So I got together with Steve Tati, who you've had on the show as well, who's from Congo-Brazzaville. And him and I have a small consulting firm that's called New Tides Consulting. And so we can advise businesses on how to work with immigrants and follow them during that process when they hire.
That's great. So cultural broker advisors.
That sounds good.
Yeah. That's cool. So if everything goes perfectly in the next 5 or 10 years from here on out with Bundeko, what do you hope the result will be? What's the big dream?
So the first thing is, I hope the result will be that the face of construction will be changed in Maine. That's my goal. I want it to look different. I want it to be more professional. I want it to be diverse. I want there to be 50% women. I want there to be immigrants, people of color, in construction in Maine, and I'm very confident about what we're offering clients because of all the talent that these immigrants are bringing to the table, as well as my experience here as a carpenter in the U.S. I'm very confident about the quality of our work, and I think that we'll just keep expanding and spearhead this new face of construction in Maine.
I've never heard someone say they want 50% of the workers to be women.
Why not?
I love it.
Why not? I mean, there's no reason why there is.
Where do you get this notion? It's kind of unusual.
Well, first of all, I'm sick of working with dudes. Because when you just have guys together on a job site, things go downhill. Sometimes it's fun, sometimes it's not. It's something I thought about really early on because it's something, it's not just about immigrants, but in rural areas in Maine, you'll have a small town where the guy goes, you know, you don't even finish high school and you can go and work for $18-$25 an hour. And meanwhile, the work that women think is there for and that people think is there for them is like working at the grocery store for $7.75. So it creates a huge economic
disparity
in gender with women and men in Maine. I've also it's in a business where there's absolutely no reason where you can't have 50% women in carpentry. There's nothing masculine about doing carpentry. There's no reason why they can't be. And I want to be working in co-ed environments. I want to be working with women. I really enjoy working with women.
This strikes me as a fabulous example of how immigrants enrich our lives, because you bring a different image, a different vision of how it can be, and it's refreshing and infuses all kinds of possibilities into the mix.
I like that.
Orson, you are delightfully creative, alive, engaged, and really fun to be with, and you're helping to create a win-win solution to Maine's challenging cultural integration, especially in the blue-collar workforce. So thank you for being my guest today.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
And thank you all for listening. Please join us each week for similar interviews with diverse members of our community. If you'd like to hear this complete interview or interviews from previous weeks, please visit newmainerspeak.com and check out more related information at facebook.com/newmainerspeak. I'm Kate Manahan, closing today's program with Orson and a song he selected for us. Right before you introduce the song, tell people how they can contact you if they need any work done on their house by respectful and diverse workforce.
So they can go on our website. It's bondeco.me.
B-O-N-D-E-K-O
.me.
Okay. I'll also hot link to it if you want to come to the New Mainers, New Mainers
awesome.
Speak page. So tell us about this song you chose briefly, and we'll put it up for everybody to listen to.
I chose this song by a huge pop star in the world that I don't think a lot of Americans know about, but it's Maître Gims. He works out of France. He's of Congolese ancestry. And the song says, Tu vas me manquer? So in French, you say, you don't say, I miss you. You say, you miss me because you're not part of me. So it says it translates to I'm gonna miss you, and so I thought about that song because it's one of the other side of having a business that's like a family is that people when people leave or if they can't stay because they're immigrants and they have to leave then I really miss them. So that goes out to all the workers that have worked with me who no longer work with me.
Lovely, thank you all.
Encore une matinée à me demander comment je vais combler tout ce vide que tu as laissé. Je sens que la journée promet d'être longue et je n'ai plus personne avec qui la passer. Je ne peux plus porter cette solitude, tu me manques, je n'ai plus personne à qui me confier. Je passe mon temps à regarder par la fenêtre et je ne te vois toujours pas entrer. Tout semble faux, j'en perds. Sans toi, je m'ennuie. je souris.